Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 15th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You look like it's supposed to be foggy today.
So far, but it'll burn off.
Yeah,
it'll be beautiful again.
That whole business suit thing versus the Friday casual, I guess, business, government casual.
Some Fridays are casual day, yeah. Just not for me today.
I see. Got a couple of meetings here that are more important.
Not more important than this.
Oh, my eye. You know, if you don't have anything more important than this, you're going home. let's see if we can find our quote this morning. A nice, easy one here. Here we go. Thomas Hughes, 1861. Heaven protects children, sailors, and drunk men.
We'll hope for a little more.
Yeah, we can probably say people there, huh? Be safe. Oh, geez. When there are situations like occurred last night, our time, in France, or situations like occurred last week in Dallas, does that give impetus for you to kind of look around your fiefdom and say, you know, could it happen here? Could we stop something like that if it happened? Our response departments, our response teams, our response all ready? Or not ready, I guess you'd never be ready, but could we execute the follow-up and do what needs to be done?
Yeah, I think events like that take pause in any local community, any local government, to look at what resources do you have, what plans do you have, how frequent are you, you know, we kind of say drilling, you know, how frequent are you practicing how you would respond to those events. Events such as we've seen, you know, across our nation and even the world, you know, going down to Nice again in France. They require a lot of partnerships. You know, the city resources in and of itself would not be able to respond independently to that. So are we continuing to support those relationships that we would need to pull in really quickly at a time like that? And we do. We do as a region plan and drill for those types of events. And we certainly do as a local government. I think the events that are unfolding, you know, especially over the course of the last year, are also bringing about a lot of conversations in local community. Is not only how would we respond to that, but what steps could we really be doing now to try to change our cultural norm and have the conversations we need to have to avoid that type of incident in our community.
I just had an interesting thought flash through my head, and I'm not sure
where we're going with it, huh?
Well, you know the strip spikes or spike strips that they put out on the mm-hmm. street. You know, the little angled things if somebody's a bad guy in a car trying to drive away, and a lot of the parking lots and stuff have the reverse angle ones.
Right.
And I was thinking in some of the areas how liability enters into the decision process, and I guess we'll kick that around when we come back.
We'll come back.
It's 8:19. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. My thought about the spike strips was, are there some engineering techniques that could be implemented through Public Works? Notice how formal I sound now that I've had a chance to think about it a little bit. Through Public Works, whether it's the the streetscape design, whether it's the strips that are permanently embedded, those table, the speed table things that cause things to fly all over the place if you're going more than 5 miles an hour over them. Things like that that could be put into place that could help at least avoid some of the potential things. Runaway vehicles or a drunk that's going the wrong way down the street. You know, things like that that are minor on the scale of a big issue.
Right.
But it might be able to be put in place that would save, you know, maybe it's only three or four events a decade.
Right. Well, that's but a lot. Even.
That's a pretty significant savings.
Events like we've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think what we've seen locally anyway is response. We had an incident at a farmer's market. I think it was in Santa Monica, California, several years ago. It was not intentional, but a man stepped on the gas instead of stepping on the brake as he was coming up to a farmer's market.
Heard that one before? Anywhere in the state?
Yeah.
So
when you're, you know, attracting like it was Bastille Day in France, when you're attracting a large number of people to a certain area, then yes, I think there are a lot of things public works-wise that we can put in place. Arcata installed bollards around the plaza. And if you see, if you go up to the plaza on any given day, bollards are like heavy metal posts that sit on each of the corners of the plaza. They've got a resting place, a sleeve that they go into and they lock. And when it's farmer's market now, even though we only close one road, those bollards come out across half the road. If we have an event like 4th of July or the Oyster Festival, those bollards come out and over the entire road. It's a more permanent block.
It replaces the wood barricades.
Right. The wood barricades are easy to drive through, intentionally or unintentionally. So for major events like that, I have not heard communities in terms of, I think, where any, at least California city is budgetarily looking at long-term permanent solutions like automated spike strips or permanent spike strips in the road so you never get to go down the wrong way down a one-way road.
But, well, probably never thought of it.
Right.
You know, but there's enough goofy stuff going on anymore that it would seem like some of those perhaps more creative approaches at least might be thrown down on the table now and talked about rather than, you know, not even not thought about or just blown off. You mentioned the farmers market. What I flashed to was a lot of the significant community gatherings around the plaza. I know you've got police protection there. A lot of times, I think most of us think, "Well, okay, that's to drag off the bums who are blottoed, right? Or drunks, I guess, instead of bums would be a better phrase." Or somebody who's really inebriated, or somebody who's got his testosterone shot in the morning and is, you know, looking for a fight, that kind of stuff. Is that what they look for, or are they looking for a wider range of situations to try to address?
Events have both our city police forces, as well as they hire their own security typically. Their own security is going to focus on the patrons of the event, and you know, monitoring that behavior when they need backup. If they need an arrest, then they'll radio over and call for city support. Our officers are always going to be on the lookout for, you know, larger incidences that could happen at any event. Whether it's just a group of people that have decided that's a great place to do a large drug deal, or whether that's a place to, you know, cause any kind of mischief around a current event, say. So they're always going to be looking for that, but. But again, it comes back to having, I think, a more open dialogue in our communities about what are the expected behaviors, the expected norms around respect and caring for each other in a way that maybe we haven't had those conversations in a long time.
It would be interesting, not that I like to consider too much in the social classes at school.
Right.
But what the reaction would be if an ongoing education or appeal was made. I would imagine compliance is probably at 80 or 85% just because somebody asked. Then you got another 10%. Why don't you tell me why? And I understand. Okay. And then you got the anarchist subset that is really the target of the whole thing anyway, who, you know, tend to either turn their back or get aggressive about noncompliance. How do you work that crowd down? Is that a social issue? Is that a peer pressure issue? Is that law enforcement?
I think we're learning as we see more and more of these incidences is that we can't solely rely on law enforcement to think that that's going to be the solution. That there has to be some solutions that are derived from maybe early stages in life, you know, of how are we training and mentoring from a very young age, and how are we going to start...
You mean parenting skills?
Yeah. Parenting skills and community sort of coming together around a set of common practices of behavior that we all agree that our community is going to, you know, make our best attempt to honor.
Culture, yeah. Civilization, church, right. I mean, all those types right. of things.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's where the missing ingredients are.
You're maybe onto something.
I don't know. I always stayed in the business side of the campus. I never went into the social. I don't think I took a social class, socialism or whatever they.
Yeah.
No, that was in poli sci. behavior classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it would seem to make sense that there if there was more of an effort that there might be more compliance and at least that understanding.
Yeah, we have, you know, the HSU student population is predominantly 75% from south of the Bay Area. So how do we acclimate that student into Humboldt County culture?
ain't that the million-dollar question? It's 8:30. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen's the Arcata City Manager. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. I like that you bob your head when I said City Manager. Yep. Still R1. Yep.
Still there.
18 months?
Yeah.
Is it what you thought it would be?
Absolutely. It might be a little bit more than I thought it would be, but it's And a little bit better than I thought it would be. We are having fun. A little more challenging than I thought it would be. I mean, it might be a little bit of all those things, but we had a good year of accomplishment. It's been, you know, obviously tight budgets in local government, but Arcata's been able to accomplish an enormous amount in the budgets that we have. We're pretty much a status quo budget. It's July, so we're in the beginning of our next fiscal year budget.
Somewhere, some town I know outside of California has got happy budget, fluffy budget.
Happy budget, yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. It's been so long since we've heard anything other than bare bones, cutback, escalating retirement programs, insurance, workers' comp, cost of materials, blah, 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 blah. Not that it's not
true,
real,
but.
But particularly in an area that has a stagnant economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly qualify in that regard. Do you think you're a better city manager now because of those conditions being the norm? I've always thought it's easy to be a boss if everything's happy, happy.
Right.
You know,
right.
business Absolutely. Has grown by 50% a year or 25% a year. Right. Yeah, get away from me. You don't know what's going on. Right. Do you think you're a better manager because of that?
I think we're a more efficient government, and I think we have... money's addressing the highest priorities of our community at this point. You know, anything that was a lower tier priority for the community over the last 5 years has been stripped away, you know, to make room to preserve those programs, those activities, those services that really are the results that Arcata wants to see in their community. We're not able to accomplish everything, you know, that the citizenry wants to accomplish, but we are, I think, accomplishing those high priority aspects of, you know, the balance in Arcata. And I've always said, you know, Arcata really is a balance. They want to see the traditional infrastructure services, but not at a complete elimination of the quality of life amenities of a community. So it's that balance that we've still been able to strike through a lot of grants and a lot of partnerships, you know, in a lot of creative ways. But we live and work in a creative community that helps us with that. So
when you go to other communities, we'll just say other communities, not necessarily neighboring communities, other communities, right. Do you get frustrated? Do you look around? I mean, when I go to other markets and I'm listening to radio stations, I'm more frustrated thinking that we're doing an okay job rather than being able to find a ton of ideas. Oh my, look at all these. When you go to other communities, do you look around? Are you frustrated by what you see? Are you more comfortable with the decisions that Arcata has made under your tenure?
I'm always looking for those best practices. I'm always looking for something that wherever I am, other communities have found a way to do better than we are to bring back. So I think that's sort of the focus of what I'm looking at. But yeah, I do always come back figuring, you know, as hard as I think we have it in certain areas, that really we are still accomplishing a lot, and I would say are well ahead of the norm of what I see around communities of our size.
Or larger. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like the big boys are the ones that really have these huge Achilles heels. Yeah. And you look at it, you go, we could never get away with doing that. How can you not be paying attention? Yeah, to me, and I go back, I don't know if he predated you or not, Dave Tooley.
Just a little crossover, but
okay.
Yeah.
When Dave was here, he said something, and it stuck, and I think it's still true with his city in the valley that he went to. The sidewalks and the gutters are the calling card of the community. You want to see the health of a community? Mm-hmm. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you go through business areas, mm-hmm. and the business tenants think that the building owners ought to be taking care of the gutters and the sidewalks. And the owner, I can't imagine. I mean, the separation or the pointing at somebody else is very frustrating for me. Homeowners do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Looking at gutters and weeds growing up in sidewalks and things of that nature, as goofy as it sounds, is that a priority?
I would agree it's still a good indication of, you know, sort of the health of certain aspects of your community. Yeah, it is still a priority, and we have a lot of discussions surrounding the plaza area. There are a lot of plaza businesses that are out every single morning cleaning up in front of their businesses, and of course some others that don't. And so there's that constant dialogue of what does it take to keep an area like the downtown plaza that has that much activity on it both day and then the entire night economy that happens on the plaza.
The what?
I call it the night economy because, there's a lot that happens, but there is also a lot of money spent in the business area in the evenings in Arcata. And that's
before business closes.
And business can stay open very late on
right,
the plaza.
You got the bars.
Yeah. And it's a significant portion of our economy, but it also creates something to clean up the next day. So it's a constant.
One of my fondest memories of, and this is going to sound weird, of growing up, when we had the Giants the first time around, was going down, and we used to stay on Union Square. Mm-hmm. And Macy's, and I don't know north, south, east, west, so I'm just guessing that Union Square is on the north side of Macy's, the block of Macy's.
Okay.
So if you go to the east side, there were two guys, and they had flower kiosks. Mm-hmm. And it was always before 8 o'clock, and it was always Saturday and Sunday. That's when, you know, we went down.
We were there.
And they had their hose, and they were out there, and they were sweeping up, and they were hosing, and the smell of clean. Mm-hmm. And seeing the pride that these guys had, I mean, it wasn't a big footprint, right. Was just so cool. And I can't imagine a retailer not doing that. I don't care what the neighbor does. This is my store. My store is clean. They're not going to come in and dust my shelves. I'm not going to go into theirs. This is my store. This is part of my invitation. That's so cool and so ingrained in me now. Mm-hmm. I can't understand why you got a business who isn't taking care of business that way.
And some of it is some businesses are opening at 10 for, you know, retail, and some are opening at 5 p.m. for the dinner crowd and the late crowd.
Yeah, but there's still bodies there taking shipment at 9 or 10 in the morning. Yeah. So no excuses. Nice try, though. No excuses. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47, final segment of the week. Karen, you said you had something you want to talk about. You even brought it. You dared to bring in a piece of paper.
I just have a list.
What is it that you want to talk about?
A couple of our budget highlights. But I wanted to mention, since Monday, the 18th, opens our candidate election period of filing for candidacy. We have three Arcata City Council positions that are will be on the ballot in November. I do believe we have three incumbents that will also be running, but we do have three seats. So we've got candidacy papers ready at Arcata City Hall to pick up for any interested candidates, and you got about a month. I think we close August 15th for that filing period. So I just want to let the community to know about that. We also, this year's budget, brought back our second canine officer. So our new canine dog, Baron, was brought to the police department a couple weeks ago and is now in training with his handler, Officer O'Donovan. So that's an exciting addition, and funds have been raised in the community for the acquisition and training of Baron. So again, kind of that community support. All of our budget, any new programs actually are either grant or community funded this year. So the other major reinstatement is our Youth and Family Services Division. So the juvenile diversion counselor positions, and we will add a school resource officer, all being funded through Measure Z. And that service will be provided throughout the entire Northern Humboldt Unified School District and all of their feeder schools. So basically, the communities of Arcata out to Manila up through McKinleyville will have juvenile diversion counseling positions available to them. So just a couple exciting things coming up this year.
Those are like shows on their own as we go through summer. When you heard about the guy trying the illegal grow, the guy going after the canine, yeah, your eyes are wide. Okay, I know. You were thinking exactly where I was about 10 seconds ago. Holy cow.
What was he thinking?
Yeah. One, stupid move.
Yeah.
Two, it seems like any animals, whether it's the horse, you know, the park division, or whether it's canine, bring in a different element and gives, it's really another tool for law enforcement or crowd control. It's really cool stuff.
They do. And I'd say 75% of the time, the dog doesn't even have to be dispatched. Just hearing it bark at the front door, the person comes out.
Or the nice vest.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Get well, huh?
Yeah, you too.
All righty. Thank you very much. See everybody tomorrow morning.